Please open your Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 12. And the first verse is where I'm going to direct your attention. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. This morning, I want us to meditate on the simple topic, I like your makeup. Our Father and our God, we now thank thee for the mercy that was so richly bestowed upon us this morning. Be thou glorified, our Father, as thy word is now open. Speak, Holy Spirit, thy people wait in anticipation to hear from thee. It's in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, I pray and I give thanks. Amen. The word transformation is always used when something has changed its composition or its appearance. And while there are several instances of transformation all around us, there is one that I believe stands on the pinnacle of them all. And that is the facial transformation that happens when a person applies makeup to their face. I'm not into Instagram nor TikTok, but on a few occasions that I've been on those platforms, I have seen incredible things makeup can do to a human face. In a matter of minutes, the facial appearance of a seemingly regular person is completely transformed into a beauty queen. When the before and after pictures are compared, one would never believe they are the same person. It's just simply mind-blowing. Now, since God is the creator of beauty, I don't believe he's opposed to the application of makeup to the face. He's not opposed to us being well-kept and beautiful. As Solomon will say of the Shulamite woman in the Song of Solomon, he said this, "How beautiful you are, my darling. How beautiful you are. Your eyes are like doves." Songs of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 15. But you know, while God is not opposed to the application of physical makeup, God is opposed to the application of spiritual makeup. Well, you must say, what exactly is spiritual makeup? Spiritual makeup is trying to mask our inner struggles with a veneer of pretense. Let me put it differently. It is putting on a pretty Christianized look while internally all is not well. Yes, as the saying goes, the church is a rehabilitation center for sinners saved by grace. All of us are on a journey of spiritual rehabilitation. But as the pure milk of the word is being dissimulated, as Peter would teach us, the Christian should be progressively grown in grace, leaving behind the milk and partaking in solid food. But this is not always the case with some Christians. You know, their inner struggle, albeit emotional, relational, or some form of addiction, is always holding them back from growing in grace. And instead of facing their demons, as it is often called, they just simply put on the veneer of pretense and act as if everything is all right. As a result, as the Apostle Paul will put it, they become a Christian who is always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And you know what, loved ones, quite frankly, we have a lot of them in our churches. And it goes without saying, to run this race that is set before us, it is important that we remove that spiritual makeup. It is important that we deal with the inner struggles that we go through And I need to be honest with you, loved ones, this morning. There is a cancer going on in our churches, the cancer of pornography. There is issues that people are dealing with, emotional issues, relational issues, dysfunctionality issues, and they continue to pretend as if all is well. But we can't run this race, as the writer of Hebrews says, without laying aside those encumbrances and the sin which so easily entangles us. But the all-important question this morning is the how question. How then does a Christian go about removing this spiritual makeup and gain victory over their inner struggles? Or shall I put it differently? How can a Christian evict those inner demons, as the slang is used, hindering them from living a life of true victory in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, this morning, I got good news for you, loved ones. God, who obviously loves us dearly, has laid for us in His Word what I call a plan of deliverance. And it is this plan of deliverance that God has laid in His Word that this morning I want to harvest. And I want to help you that this morning, if this is your profile, if this is your story, that you can find relief but also find deliverance as the Lord will open to you His plan to liberate you from those inner struggles that has bound you from growing in grace. Now, before I unveil this plan, let me do a pre-op, shall I say. I want to take a step back first, and I want to identify reasons why some Christians prefer to stay in the shadows rather than seek help. You know, why do some Christians that they're struggling internally, and rather than willingly, humbly seek help, why do they keep putting on this facade and living in the shadows of their struggles? Well, this morning, I believe there are a couple of reasons here. And the first is this. It's because of the deception of the human heart. You want to write that down. You know, in case you don't know this, your heart is not really your friend. You cannot trust your heart. Your heart at times can be your worst enemy. That is the reason the Word of God will teach us in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. Jeremiah will say, "The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it?" And this is essentially true when it comes to issues of inner struggles and addictions. Why is this true? Because our heart is always trying to reassure us that we are not as bad as we think compared to others. Again, I want you to understand what the heart does. It tries to reassure you that, listen, you're not as bad as others are. You're not as bad as your neighbor next door. You're not as bad as your friend that is struggling intensely. You're not as bad as everybody else. You're just a good man and just have a little stuff going on in you. Or your heart can actually tell you that, listen, whatever you're struggling, you can manage it. You can quit anytime you want to quit. It is this false assurance that our heart gives us that keeps many Christians in the shadows, leading them to kind of mask their struggles with a veneer of pretense and say, you know what, I can manage what I'm going through. I can manage my addiction. I can manage this dysfunction. I can manage this pain. But they fail to realize that the more they think they can manage it, the worse they get, because guess what? The stronghold of those inner struggle becomes stronger if they don't deal with it. And this morning, deliverance will always be elusive if you fall into the temptation of listening to what your heart is reassuring you without seeking help. The second reason why Christians tend to stay in the shadows when it comes to their inner struggles and addiction is this. It's because of the protection of our reputation. The protection of our reputation. You know, whether you admit this or not, all of us are concerned about our reputation. You know, we are all concerned about how people view us or what they say about us. You know, the reason you didn't walk into this church this morning with rollers in your head and you didn't come in with your PJs on is because you are concerned about how you look and what people think and how what people will see about you. So you're pretty decent in coming in here. It's because all of us, in one way or the other, are concerned about how people see us, how people view us. And to a certain extent, this is not bad. It's true. Because the Apostle Paul will tell us in Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, he said, conduct yourself with wisdom towards outsiders, making most of the opportunity. Implication is that, you know what, we got to act right when we go outside. But here's the problem. You know, when it comes to inner struggles, addictions, when it comes to issues of dysfunctionality and pain that you're going through, you cannot be concerned about what people think about you. Watch what I'm saying. You have to lay aside your reputation. You need to go and stop worrying about what people say or what people... You need to seek wellness for yourself. You know, this is one of the hindrances why Christians don't go and seek help, why they love to stay in the shadows, because they're so concerned about what people are going to say. Listen, I'm a deacon of a church. What's people going to say about me if they know what's going on behind closed doors? What are people going to say? I'm a pastor. What are they going to say about me? Want to see what are people going to say? And they're so concerned. And guess what? They hacked in the shadows and they continue to get imprisoned into that strong goal that they're struggling with because they can't face up to the notion to say, you know what, it doesn't matter. You know, you need to realize this. It is your struggle, not theirs. It is your pain, not their pain. If you don't deal with it, it is not them that is going to be deceived. You're deceiving yourself. You're robbing yourself of the victorious life in Jesus Christ and giving the devil the leverage to torment you. And this is always a problem. And I truly believe some of you listening to me this morning realize this is a problem because you've been hiding under your reputation. But you got to put your reputation aside and say, I am the one in need. I am the one that needs wellness because God wants you to be well in body, soul, and spirit. There's a third reason this morning I believe Christians tend to stay in the shadows. It is because of the false security of secrecy. Again, let me repeat that. It is because of the false security of secrecy. Let me break it down for you to this morning. You know, whenever we do something wrong and we get away with it, it usually triggers a false sense of security. Again, I want you to watch what I'm saying this morning. That since nobody knows my secret, I am all right. Watch what I just said. That since nobody knows my secret, I am all right. And this is a false security of secrecy that often keep some Christians in the shadow. Because listen, you've been doing this for a long number of days. You've been doing it for a long time. You know how to erase your memory off your computer so that nobody will trace where you've been. You know how to supernaturally go or cleverly, shall I say, go into that liquor store and buy that alcohol and just be a closet drunk and alcoholic. You know how to mask all those stuff because nobody can really find you out. And that assures that false security of secrecy is giving you a place of hiding. You know, that's why Solomon said as well, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. You want to write this down. He said, because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed quickly, therefore the hearts of the son of man among them are given fully to do evil. But I tender to you this morning, every time you get away with wrong, it's not because you're clever. Every time you get away with wrong, it is not because you are just too smart for yourself. It is because God is giving you a mulligan. God is giving you a chance, an opportunity for you to judge yourself. God is giving you that little grace for you to get it right in of yourself. Because Paul will tell us, he said, you know, examine yourself. Paul will say, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31, he said, you have to judge yourself rightly, or so that you will not be judged. What Paul is saying is this: if you don't take that grace, if you don't take that mulligan from God and begin to deal with your own issues, your inner struggle, and expose it so that you can be healed, if you don't do that, God will have to expose you himself. Listen to what I said. God will have to expose you himself. God does not mind exposing his church. God does not mind exposing his servants. God does not mind, because God is concerned about the moral purity of his church. He's concerned about your moral purity. God's goal is to get you to glory. God's goal is to keep you untainted by this world. And he loves you too much to leave you in that struggle that you've been tormented. It will expose you to heal you. And some of us don't get healed. Some of us don't face our inner demons until we're exposed. Then we have nowhere else to hide. Well, Pastor Wally, is there a bomb in Gilead? Pastor Wally, could you tell me, what is the plan of deliverance? What is the plan of deliverance that is embedded in the Word of God? I'm so glad you asked. And this is the plan that I believe God has in his Word for you to be set free from the inner struggles that you're going through. First is this. It's pretty simple. It's just acknowledgement. You have to be brutally honest with yourself about your struggle. You have to come out clean. Listen to what I just said. You have to be brutally honest. You have to say to yourself, mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of them all? And you got to really look at yourself and acknowledge, I am the one with the problem. It is not my wife. It is not my church family. It is not my siblings. I am the one with a problem. I am the one that's struggling. I am the one in need of help. Now, if you go to John's Gospel, chapter 4, here we see the narrative of our Lord Jesus in a dialogue with the Samaritan woman. I know all of you know this story. You know, after the Lord Jesus had told about the living water, and she responded to Lord Jesus, says, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty nor come all the way here to draw." After he said that to Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus now says something pretty interesting here, because the Lord Jesus now made a very interesting request to this woman. He said, "Go call your husband and come here." The question is this: why did the Lord Jesus make this request? What has our husband got to do with the conversation? That is what every Bible student should ask themselves. And I think it is strategic. The Lord Jesus was trying to get us something about this woman. That, listen, it is great for you to drink this living water. It would be great for you to be regenerated. But regeneration is one thing. Being able to deal with your struggle is different thing. And the Lord Jesus asked her this question because the Lord just wanted her to acknowledge the inner struggle that she was going through, that she's a promiscuous woman. That she had so many husbands. She had lived with so many men. Men had passed out one to another. She has been a public use of men. And the Lord Jesus wanted her to acknowledge that, listen, this is my problem. And the Lord just said, yes, this is your problem. And I truly believe the same is true for you and I. The Lord Jesus wants us to face. He's asking us this morning. He wants us to face ourselves and acknowledge knowledge. Oh, yes, it's good to drink of the living water. Oh, yes, it's good to be saved and sanctified on your way to heaven. But listen, are you still struggling? Are there stuff that's holding you down from running this race that has been set before you? The Lord just said, acknowledge it, expose it, let it see the light of day. Take it out of that little shadow and bring it forth to the light of God. That is the beginning of redemption, the beginning of deliverance. And I tender to you this morning, if you seek denial or you stay in that state of denial, you can't get no help. Because denial means that you ain't letting go. You're still holding on to the struggles. Now, I need to throw a caveat here, by the way. You know, acknowledging your struggle to yourself is good, but it's not the best option here because of the deception of our heart. You know, you can say to yourself, oh, listen, Pastor Wally, this is my struggle. I'm telling myself this is my struggle, but that's good. You can tell yourself this is your struggle, but listen, what do you do from there? Rather, this notion of acknowledgement, you must have to go forth and be able to acknowledge it to somebody who can hold you accountable. Watch what I just said. Somebody who's not afraid to tell you that is wrong. Somebody, I'm not talking about your girlfriends that will want to tell you what you need to hear and try to justify your lifestyle. I'm trying to tell you of somebody that will look you dead in the eye and say, listen, you're better than this. Someone that will look you dead in the eye and say, God got better plans for you. God, someone that will look you in the eye and say, you can do better than what you're doing, that there is help for you. Someone that will lead you to that place of help. Someone that will hold you accountable. Someone that is spiritual. Someone that will be able to say to you, you can't live like this as a Christian. That is who you need to acknowledge to. Those are the persons you need to talk to. Unfortunately, we run from those things because we want to concern about our reputation. And here you're sitting day by day, Sunday after Sunday in the church, and you're living wrong. You become a public saint and a private sinner. Acknowledge that, yes, this is my inner struggle. Unless someone that can hold you accountable begin to help you to break free from this chain. That is the first plan that God gives us of deliverance. The second is this. And by the way, you can't break this sequence. You have to begin from the first to the second to the third that I'm going to give you this morning. So let's look at a second. The second is this. Be willing to submit to a rigorous pathway to wellness. Again, watch what I just said. Be willing to submit to a rigorous pathway to wellness. You know, when you go to the Gospel of Matthew and you look at the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 29. Before then, the Lord Jesus was saying to us, you know, you've already said thou shalt not commit adultery, but if a man will look at a woman and lust after her, he has committed adultery in his heart. That's the context of it. But in verse 29, right after the Lord Jesus said that, then he said, if your right eye make you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better for you that one of the parts of your body perish than for the whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand makes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. For it is better for you that one of the parts of your body perish than for your whole body to go into hell. Now, the Lord Jesus here used a lot of strong language. Tear it off, cut it off. I believe what the Lord Jesus is trying to say here is this. He's not trying to tell us that, listen, if your eye make you sin, just poke it out or, you know, amputate your hand because, you know, your hand. No, it's not telling us that. I think the Lord's just trying to tell us that when it comes to sin, we have to be radical about it. In other words, we got to take every necessary means to eject that sin from our bodies. We have to be radical with this. And this also applies to our inner struggles. Our inner struggles, it applies to it. And the reason it applies to it is that many of those struggles are well fortified in our lives. Some of them we have learned in ages past, and we've grown up with this pattern of dysfunctionality. We have struggled with different kind of pain, and they've been deeply entrenched in our soul that it takes a lot of rigorous therapy. It takes a lot of rigorous pathway that we need to dig it out and take it out. Some of us have been exposed to materials that have not been healthy, sexual sin that we've grown up with, and we can't just take it out in a minute. You've got to take time to dig it deep. Assuming a person is diagnosed with cancer. If a person is diagnosed with cancer, that person just doesn't go into his medicine cabinet and take an Imodium. They just don't go into their cabinet and take Advil. Rather, what do? They go to see a specialist. They go to talk to a specialist. They go through this rigorous plan to get that cancer cell of their body, from chemo to radiation to whatever it takes to get that cancer cell out, because they understand that that cancer cell kills. And my brothers and sisters, whatever in the struggle you're going through kills. Sin destroys us, breaks fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our inner struggles, it denies us of the abundant life. And you have to be radical with this. And may I remind you, one way of being radical is that don't be afraid to check into a rehab. If there is a problem going on here, yes, God has given some people the grace to be able to help you through this issue. You can go to a rehabilitation center. You can go to an intensive rehab that will help you to find what is the pain that is within you that you need to really look at so that you can be well. Another radical approach is that you got to look at those triggers. You know, what are the triggers here? Triggers that are causing you to fall back into this trap. Oh, don't make no mistake. If you don't deal with this radically, they ain't going nowhere. You can do all you want to do and just bandage it up. It's still going to be there. And I believe the Lord Jesus is telling us here that we must be radical. Not only expose ourselves, but do whatever's necessary. Use deadly force to get this addiction off your system, because it gradually destroys your fellowship with God. And God wants you to walk in the light as He Himself is in the light. Here's the final point this morning. I believe here is the final plan of God for deliverance. And this is it. You have to create healthy boundaries. Again, I want to write that down. You have to create healthy boundaries. You know, most inner struggles we face often have triggers. It could be something, someplace, or someone. And all those can be the trigger. It's either someplace, something, or someone. Now, when we are able to identify this trigger, now, don't get me wrong, you've acknowledged, you have gone to the next stage of seeking rigorous pathway to wellness. Now you got to identify those things that are triggers. You know, some of us are triggered by different experiences. Some of us are triggers might be stress. Some of us are triggers might be places we go to. Some of us are triggers might be toxic relationships. Whatever your trigger is, identify it. Once you identify your trigger, then you place boundaries around those triggers. You place boundaries around them. And once you place boundaries around them, the boundaries now help you that you don't cross the line again. You know, you might say to me, Pastor Wale, I'm struggling with drinking. I'm an alcoholic. So if you're an alcoholic and you've gone through this rigorous pathway of deliverance and Alcoholics Anonymous, you've gone to rehab, what is the next step? Put boundaries. Put create healthy boundaries. You might want to stop hanging around your friends who still drink. You might want to stay away from situations that will create stress. And you know, stress might be a trigger that will lead you back to that. You might want to get active in different events so that your mind will be so occupied that you won't have to be lonely to think about something to kind of pacify your body. You see, you got to find boundaries, healthy boundaries to put in place. Some, it might be sexual sin. Sexual sin as it relates to what you view on the computer. Then you might want to put boundaries in place. You might want to ensure that, listen, this computer will not be left where only I can see it. Others got to be able to view it. You want to connect with different internet mechanisms that can check your computer and make sure that you are not going to where you should not be going to. Or even you can let your family be your check and balance. Listen to me. The Apostle Paul would teach us, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. He said, abstain from every form of evil. What the Apostle is teaching us here, boundaries. Whenever you see it, abstain from it. In other words, put boundaries around it. Listen, I'll tell you another one. It could be an emotional affair. You know, you are struggling with that. You've been through this, but there's still, you might want to leave that job. You might want to go look for something else because your marriage might be at stake. Your marriage might be on the line because of your lack of, at times, self-control. And the Bible now calls us that we must abstain from every form of evil. And this morning, loved ones, this is God's plan for deliverance. Listen, you must acknowledge, you must be willing to surrender to a rigorous pathway of wellness. Then once you've gone through this too, and you've been made whole again, then you need to put boundaries in place so that you don't relapse and go back to what you used to do. Church, this morning, take off your makeup. Let us stop hiding under this veneer of pretense. Deal with your inner struggle. God is seeking men and women who will love him, live in the light of his word, and glorify him in all that we do. May the Lord this morning grant each one of us hearing his, that we may all hear, thus says the Lord. Our Father, this morning, I do honor thee and thank thee for the mercy thou hast lavished upon us. Holy Spirit, may thou now use this word to bring glory to thy holy name. I want to pray this morning for those struggling under my voice. Lord, I know it's easy to listen to this message and say, this is what I need to do. But Lord, give them the courage to do what is right. Give them the courage that they will honor you as they walk in obedience before thee. Lord, I also pray for those that have failed, those that feel that they've just got it wrong. Like you spoke to Jonah the second time, may thou speak to each one of us the second time. Let us understand that yes, we might bend, but we won't break because we're in the hands of a perfect God. My Father, this is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray.